Amen. How many of you are glad you're here this morning? Now, I have to let y'all in on a secret. We were in a men's Saturday morning prayer service one time. And this is how this clapping thing started. Remember that, Matt? I said, when Pastor Shane gets up to pray, we need to clap. But we're not just going, oh, yay. Here he is. Something happens in the spirit when there's a sound or you do something. Nothing happens in the kingdom unless you say something, do something, move in something. And I said, when we clapped that Sunday morning, I said, I'm really sensing before we even get into the room that stuff's going to break off of people before, and that's going to set the message up when they clap. So that's kind of where that started. All the women, you don't know because you're not allowed to come to men's prayer. So they have another group for that. So that's why they clap, right, Matt? That's why we do it, right? Show them one more time. How's that work? Show them one more time. How's that work? How many of you know that could break something in the spirit? We're not just making noise, right? You believe that? Right. How many of you know we don't just hoot and holler around here, just to hoot and holler? There's some folks that hoot and holler and just to hoot and holler. And we know that when we come before God and say, I'm doing this for you, or I sense in my spirit, if I clap, if I blow that shofar, if I wave that flag, if I raise my hand, something's going to happen. Do you ever come to church and make your reason, why are you going to church? Something's going to happen. That's called expectation. Everybody say expectation. What's your expectation level this morning? Now, I have my message, but I have to read this to you. This is so crazy. So crazy, so crazy. I got two texts this morning. Well, I got a bunch of texts, but these two people don't have any clue what I'm talking about today. This came from Pastor Cornell at Metro Church in Youngstown. This is what he said. He said, good morning, beloved. Just wanted to encourage you before you step into today's assignment. He didn't know what I was doing. As you preach, lead, counsel, pray, and serve, remember that the Lord has already gone before you. You do not have to carry the weight of ministry alone. The Holy Spirit still empowers, strengthens, and transforms lives. Be faithful, be joyful, and be present in the moment. Someone walking through your door today needs the hope, grace, wisdom, and love that God has placed inside of you. I'm praying for fresh strength, a clear mind, genuine worship, salvations, encouragement, powerful moments in God's presence all across your congregation today. Love you, and I'm cheering you on greatly this morning. He gave you that message. How about that? This just came in. This is hot off the press. How many of you know who Kathleen Carnally is? You know Kathleen Carnally? Would you like to have her come and do some worship with us sometime? Wouldn't that be great? We're super good friends. Brett just texted me as I was standing backstage. He said, love you guys and thinking about you. I said this to him. He has no idea what I'm talking about. I said, Brett, I'm speaking today. Do you have a word for the church? This is what he said. Listen to this. This has everything to do with my message. I almost said it has nothing to do. It has everything to do. 2 Kings 2. He says, 2 Kings 2, I want a double portion of your spirit. Ooh, would you say that? He says, God has stuff he wants to give you and stuff he wants you to walk in, but it's in his time. We can't pray our way around maturity. We have to walk through it. Ooh, did you get that? If we get the relationship right with the Lord and seek him, everything God intends for your life will just flow in. Wow. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I told him, I said, you have no idea what we're talking about today. I have to tell you, today is maybe not so much a sermon as much as a, I don't know what this is. I don't know if this is a teaching, if I'm just talking to you about stuff that's been going on. Maybe a little more conversation. Can we have just a conversation? Maybe we'll read some scriptures and do all that to make it legitimate, and then we'll go from there. Some interesting things that have been happening is I've been connected to Sam Storms. Anybody know who Sam Storms is? Raise your hand. You know who Sam Storms is? No? Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're in my class, you know who Sam Storms is. If you're in a prophetic group, you probably know who Sam Storms is. He's a former cessationist. What's that mean? That means all that stuff that God gave in the book of Acts was for that little group for a 40-year period, and now none of that's, we don't want any of that hubbub, you know? He preached all over the country, wrote books, had teachings and videos about how don't hang around those holy roller, tongue-talking, thinking they're doing miracle people. Then he was in a service. He wasn't in a service. He was in a meeting with Jack Hayford. Anybody know who Jack Hayford is? He just passed away. Sam got baptized in the Holy Spirit, didn't even know what was happening. And the very thing that he denied going across the country preaching about happened to him. Isn't that good? And so I've been really hooked on some of his books. I bought all of his books. I went on christianbook.com and bought all of his teaching books. And I've been reading this book called Practicing the Power. And my message is not a verbatim of the book. It's just really dropped something in my spirit. And I believe prophetically this word is for the church. That there's going to be a release of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just through Pastor Mark and Pastor Jeff and Pastor Ben and Pastor Shane and some say Pastor Bobby. There's a lot of pastors here. We don't have to name you. But you all can do that, right? I'm sanguine, ADD, ADHD, you know how that is. Add just means you have to add something. HD means you're high def, so you just have to deal with it. I just heard, you know, in that Sister Act, everybody knows Sister Act? What have you done for him lately? Ooh, yeah. Don't act like you don't listen to that stuff. You know you listen to that stuff. What have you done for him? Instead of that, I would like to say, what have you allowed him to do through you lately? Ooh. How many of you know, and I got lots of notes, I don't even know if we'll get there. I'm just here right now. You know, sometimes I think in the church world, this is the objective. You come to Christ, you get saved, maybe I'll even add, you get filled with the Spirit, and then you pray to God you don't go to hell, and you sit here and wait till Jesus comes. I mean, there's a lot of people that do that. I'm connected to a lot of groups that think that, you know. I'm just holding on. You keep holding on. The one lady, remember that cat? She'd say, you holding on? And she'd say, yes, ma'am. And she'd say, you keep holding on. What am I holding on to? Like I don't need to just hold on to something. I need to give myself away, you know. I need to give myself away and let the Lord. Do you know that? Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. You might have to do this morning. I give myself away so you. So this is what happened. So we were on a TV show this past week, filmed 5 episodes for a TV show. And the lady who's the host, we were talking about what we're doing at the men's rally. That's Saturday the 23rd. Michael W. Smith is from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Get there. There's almost 3,000 tickets already reserved. There's only 3,500, 3,800 seats in that building. We're going to try to cram everybody in there. But we said, we're going to have communion. We're going to do all this stuff. And she said, well, you know, there's some people that just don't believe in all that stuff. And she said, but we really need to desire and want all the fullness that God has for us. And I thought, ooh, she's preaching my message. Then Wednesday night, how many of my Understanding God students are here? Don't make that one noise that we talked about, but, you know, just raise your hand silently. Thank you, class. You know what I mean. What's said in that class stays in that class. What was our topic Wednesday night? Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And about 3 weeks ago, I had someone who used to come to our church years ago. He was a little kid. I was talking to Pastor Jeff before the service today. Chris Crisano. Anybody remember Chris Crisano? You guys remember him, the little kid? He was in our Sunday school class. He would fall asleep every Sunday. He's out. Pastor Jeff teaching. Everybody's teaching. He'd fall asleep. Yeah. Least likely to be spiritual or achieve anything in the kingdom. His picture was in that page, you know. He calls me 3 weeks ago and says, hey, we have a bunch of people that meet at our house. Would you come? We're going to be teaching about the gifts of the Spirit, and we want you to come and just talk about your gift or do whatever you want to do. Okay. So we had dinner. I got to get to the message. This is the message. Go to the dinner. There's about maybe 15 people there, plus kids. So we eat. And then he tells me what I'm going to do. So Pastor Mark's going to teach us about a whole bunch of stuff, about gifts. That's what he said. I'm like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So I talked a little bit. All young couples with young children. Okay? I was the oldest person in the room. Okay? And then they said, oh, when we're done, this is what we do. We put a chair in the middle of the room and people sit in the room. And we were talking about prophecy and prophetic words. And his wife said, would you prophesy to everybody here today? And I said, you mean like I'll say one word for everybody? She said, no, individually. We'll sit them in a chair and then you tell them what's on your mind. I went, okay. How many of you know if you're really doing stuff that's really led of the Holy Spirit and you are totally comfortable with all that, there's something wrong? Because I was nervous. I was like, oh my word, what am I going to say? Help me, Jesus. Where's the door? Can I get out of here? Not really. I mean, you know, a couple are good. Anyway, had incredible time pouring into those people. And you know what they did after that? They said, oh, we need to get the kids. And these are like Dom's age and some not very much older, maybe a few. Maybe the oldest kid was, I don't know, 7, something like that. And I said, we were just talking in our church that there is no such thing as a junior Holy Ghost or a junior Holy Spirit. These little kids have full access to the full power, manifest power of the Holy Spirit that any 99-year-old has. Amen? You believe that? Believe that. And I wasn't like Jesus, but I felt like Jesus. I said, I'm going to sit in the chair and have the children come unto me. And then they came to me. And we're just looking at these precious little babies, all these kids. And I had a corporate word for those kids. And it was just a powerful time. And then, now here's this message, right? Everybody say, practicing the power. I had this memo in my phone. I take lots of notes. Some people think I'm texting during service. I'm looking up stuff and finding, you know, getting nuggets in there. This was my thought. What would have happened if Jesus was not ever manifested in the flesh? What if he was never manifested? What if Bethlehem never happened? There'd be no death. There'd be no burial. There'd be no resurrection. There'd be no refilling the wine at the wedding party when it ran out. There'd be none of that, right? Then here's my second thought. What would happen if the Holy Spirit would be manifested in our flesh? what would happen when we give him permission to manifest himself through us? What would happen? This is how it happened. Let's look at this. John 16:7. Let's read this. Read it out loud with your outside voice. Go. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I like the amplified. Things that are amplified are louder. So the amplified version is a little bit louder. It says a few more words. This is what he says. Listen to this. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, Standby, this is from the Greek, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. Say that, to be in close fellowship. Wow. Everybody say intimacy. Do you know, a lot of churches get uncomfortable with intimacy in their services, especially when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And I think it was Bishop one time that said, intimacy in the Spirit is into me, you see. I want you into me, you see. Remember I had a message called, what was it called? Invite Jesus, right? You invite Jesus. I was invited to that house. They just didn't invite me and let me sit there. They incorporated me in everything they did. What would happen if we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Here. Everybody say here. How many of you know when we sing that song, we're not saying here. We're saying here. And I'm saying there and there and there. Come flood this place. Your glory, God, is what we long for. You might have to fill up the room with smoke so it doesn't kill us. We learned that from Pastor Shane, right? It's your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Say it. Holy. Put your hand right here. Are welcome here. Come flood this right here and fill the earth. You know what that means? That means if it's inside me, it's going to come out. How many of you know the Holy Spirit doesn't fill you up to make you an overweight, gluttonous spiritual being in your spirit? He doesn't do that, right? He fills you to overflowing. What happens when you overflow? We have a thing here called overflow. What do? We bought a bunch of school supplies for us. You can look at them, but you can't have them. Wouldn't that be the weirdest thing, right? What do we say? Give our stuff away. That's what we do. We pass out pencils and do all that stuff, right? When he fills you, he doesn't fill you just to fill you, right? There are a lot of people that get all wonky and wacky when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, and especially gifts. I like to almost say functions of the Holy Spirit, because spiritual gifts are not like Christmas present gifts. They're functions of the Holy Spirit. It's God himself loving us so much that he comes inside of us. Because Jesus said it's expedient, King Jimmy says it this way, it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, this Holy Spirit, this Comforter, this Standby, can't come. So I got to go. He's going to come. I'll never leave you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. So when the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of Christ, comes into you, he's still with you. He's still here. He's still doing stuff. Somebody say, he's still doing stuff. I have to tell you that, because there's some people that think he's not doing anything anymore. At Abundant Life, I can't speak for other churches, but I don't know, here, we're saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Flood this place. Flood, flood, oh my word, flood this place, right? Sometimes you have to practice doing that. You know, I'm all over my notes. I'll find where I'm at later, but this is what my thoughts are. I'll give you the end of the message now, and then we'll rewind a little bit. If you have a Bible study, how many in here have a Bible study you're part of? Raise your hand. Bible study? I was saying. Prayer group, raise your hand. Prayer group. Small group in your house? Anybody else living in your house? Whatever you do, if you're here, Sunday school class, whatever, I encourage you to leave time for the Holy Spirit to move. Sometimes I think we get so caught up in our programs and our processes that we program and process him out of our whole program. One time, Kat and I were at a church down in Myrtle Beach, Beach Church. We love Beach Church. So Spirit-filled, presence of God, we were almost there. And they said, and now Susie's going to come up and tell us about the building program or something. And Kat said, insert Holy Spirit, not oops, sorry. No, you know. Sometimes that means you might put music on. Everybody say atmosphere. You know, you can set the atmosphere for things to happen, right? This is what Pastor Shane does. Saturday morning, we talk, they chit-chat a little bit, pray about something. Talk, they don't pray yet, they're talking. Then he says, I'm going to put a worship song on, and then we're going to pray. Why does he do that? He's setting the atmosphere for prayer, right? How many of you know you can set the atmosphere? If he inhabits the praises of his people and you put worship music on, anything can happen. A miracle can happen now, right? And the interesting thing is he says, on Saturday morning, we're going to do something. We're going to have a prayer meeting. Guess what happens on Saturday morning in his basement? They play volleyball or shoes. Is that what you do? No, he's shaking his head. No. What do? They pray. And when they pray, stuff happens. Who decided to pray? They did. He did. You decide. This is what we're going to do. If we had a healing service and we said, next Tuesday night's going to be a healing service, who decided to have a healing service? I'd like to suggest the Holy Spirit moved on you to do that. You say, hey, we're going to have a healing service, so bring sick people, and we're going to pray for them. What do you think would happen in that service? This is class. You're not allowed to talk when any of the other preachers are preaching, but you can talk to me. I'm just kidding. Okay. What would happen? They'd be healed, right? Say, we're going to have a deliverance service. We want to get a whole bunch of drug addicts in here, and we're going to get them delivered from drugs. What do you think could happen if we brought all those people in here? Teen Challenge does it all the time, you know? And they get delivered, set free. You set the atmosphere. I got a bunch of good stuff in these pages that I worked on a long time. He said, why don't you just do what you're going to tell them to do instead of telling them what you were going to do. This is what we're doing right now. I remember Pastor Jeff in a lot of classes, this will happen in class, when he'd teach, he'd say, so what do you think about blah, 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 blah. And everybody in the room goes like this. And then usually what he says, I've heard him say this, I'm not afraid of silence. Why? Because sometimes you have to think. How many of you live like busy, chaotic, crazy lives? You got kids running off the chandeliers. You got stuff to do at work. You got all these things. And anybody live a calm, peaceful, kumbaya life? Anybody do that? Only you, Dan? Cycle that? You're the only one that does that? Okay. He didn't raise his hand. I'm just picking on him because I can. if you have all this chaotic stuff going on, and you just kind of sit like this, Lord, calm me down. I need rest. I need peace. You know, put some music on your phone. You know, sometimes you set the atmosphere with worship. Sometimes you set the atmosphere with this. You don't have Spotify. You don't need Spotify, Glorify, Purify. You don't need any of that stuff in your phone. You can just wait on the Lord, and then He'll show up and do stuff. Right? Do you believe that? Oh my! Let's go. We have to realize that the Holy Spirit wants to do way more in, through, and with us than we even want Him to do. And I know some of you, some of you really want the Holy Spirit to move in you and really do stuff? Do you want Him to use you for real? Right? Okay. I do. But you know what the truth is? He wants to do that way more than we even want Him to. So why don't we let Him? Why don't we let Him? John 14, 16, 17 says this. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another, that's allos, that's another of the same kind, advocate to be with you, how long? Forever. The Spirit of truth. This world cannot receive Him. Why? Because it neither, read, sees Him nor knows Him, but you do know Him, for He abides with you. Now, that's currently because they're already saved. These are my notes. He's with you and will be, this is Jesus talking, and will be in you. That's future, because they're about to get filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room. I've heard a lot of people say when you get saved, you receive the whole package at salvation. There's too many scriptures that say otherwise, because the scripture says that you grow in Christ. You grow in the knowledge of Christ. There's always something more. When you think, oh, I got it all. No, guess what? There's something else. One time I remember going into with Bishop. It was like 4:45 on a Tuesday morning. He's sitting on his chair, and I sat down next to him. I said, hey, Bishop. He's like, hey, Doc. He calls me Doc. I said, hey, Bishop, what's going on, man? He goes, you know what he said to me? He goes, Doc, I got so much to learn. I got so much to learn. You know what I said to him out of nervousness? I said, Bishop, if that's true, there is no hope for me. Because I look at him, you know. But there's always, what are you doing? And he didn't mean like I'm learning stuff. Like I'm learning, like I'm pursuing God. He always says I'm chasing after God. What's happening? What's he doing? And he says, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Could that be a prayer that you said to God? Whatever, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. I want to be in on it, right? You still with me? I quote Pastor Ben. Are you breathing? Okay. John 7, 38, 39. Let's read. Do we have it? Go. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit, read, had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. See, you grow spiritually from the inside out. Spiritual power comes out of an inward fellowship with God and a connection to his purposes, right? Acts 1:8. Read this. Here it is. That's where it is, Erica. Read this. Go. But you will receive power, read, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. After he said this, they watched him as he, poof, cloud, he's out of their sight. Whoa. A beam me up, Scotty moment there. He says this profound thing, and then, whoop, gone, you know. Sometimes that's how God is, you know. We've heard him called Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Shalom, my peace, Jehovah Nisi, my banner. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is what I've heard called Jehovah Saniki. You two can't predict what he's going to do. You can't manufacture it. You can try. But if you try to do that in this house, there's so many people with discerning of spirits and stuff like that. You know, don't be fake. Just let the Lord move through you. Let him flow through you. Don't be scared to do it. Don't be afraid. I was telling Ben, we were standing backstage waiting for that lady to finish the announcements this morning. And I said, oh, sorry. That was good. Sweet lady. Sweet lady, sweet lady. Keep going. Keep giving me. Feed me. Feed me. Beautiful. Keep feeding me. Talented. Keep feeding me. Anointed. There we go. Pray protection over me. I'm going to get killed on the way home. And I said, no matter how many times I do this, I always have this element of nervousness. Because I don't necessarily know what's going to happen. Aren't you glad you go to a church where you can't really predict step by step of what's going to happen? Because we just don't know. Sometimes I look at Pastor Jeff and go, what's next? I make the order of service. I go, well, what's next? Or he'll go, oh, we're doing that. Okay, what's happening? Sometimes we go, I don't know. I remember on Taylor Street, presence of God was moving in such a strong way. I remember we were singing, to God be the glory for the things he has done. Dun, 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 dun. And the music stopped, and this is what happened. For like 20 minutes on Taylor. Kim and Tater, you might remember that. Musicians started walking off. We just sat there. It was so powerful. We were just sitting in his presence. You would have thought somebody was preaching with their veins coming out, or somebody was playing that organ so big. Nothing. Pastor Don looked at me and said, what's next? I said, I don't know. I was sitting next to him on that little metal chair. Some of you remember he had a In My Heart There Rings a Melody magnet on the back of that chair. I said, ooh, I need to go to the piano. And I played and sang, and we wrote, Lost in Your Presence, Lord, is where I love to be. You remember that song? How many remember that song? We recorded it with the choir. That came out of that service because we yielded to the Holy Spirit, said, use us, do something through us, right? And he showed up. Don't you love it when the Spirit shows up? Don't you love it when the Spirit shows off? I got to keep moving. When my wife is in the room, everything changes. Let's read the Amplified. Can we read Amplified? Read this. But you will receive power, read, and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. So he says here, you'll receive power and ability. Okay? So he's going to give you power and ability to do stuff. And he gives you the power and ability to say something. You know, here's a challenge. He said, go into all the world and teach all nations. You can't do that. They didn't. When they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and a lot of Pentecostals latch on to that day of Pentecost, and I've heard a lot of them say this, well, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. They say initial. That's how they say it theologically in their messed up theological books. They say it's the initial evidence. You know what Jesus said the initial evidence was? You shall receive power. Everybody say power. Now, tongues can follow that, but power is the first thing. And you'll be my witnesses. So when they came out, they were preaching the gospel to all these people that were there because it was a census. There were all kind of people there in front of this upper room building. Sam Storm says, people that have a problem with this kind of conversation oftentimes are powerless Christians that are so afraid to let the Holy Spirit use them because they might make a mistake or they might screw up or something like that. So he writes a book called Practicing the Presence. How many of you are in the prophetic class or the shares class? You got that? You know what they do in that class? They practice. You practice, right? Hey, we're going to practice praying for people. Have you ever prayed for people? Have you ever prayed for someone? Raise your hand if you ever prayed for someone. Okay? Okay. Now, don't raise your hand on the outside, just on the inside. How many of you never prayed for anybody? Don't raise your hand. If you haven't, pray for somebody. Say, Holy Spirit, this person needs healed. Ask them what they need. Pray for them. What do you need? So then you come down, they say, what do you need? I remember I was praying for the one dude. He said, oh, just everything. I said, that's a little too big for my prayer. You might have to go to Pastor Jeff for that. Everything. Okay. He told me something. So we prayed specific. Specific prayer will cause specific results, at least in my world. I like that. Right? So you pray for him. And I think too often this is what we do when we pray. If because we're talking about spiritual gifts, okay? So the spiritual gifts, there are 9 listed in that text, right? There's power gifts. The power gifts do something. There are vocal gifts. The vocal gifts say something, right? And the revelation gifts, word of knowledge, gift of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning gifts, they reveal something. Revelation gifts reveal things, right? Power gifts do something. Vocal gifts say something. Now, if you're a cessationist in your head or something, how could you say that the Holy Spirit today doesn't want to do anything within and through us, doesn't want to say anything within and through us, and doesn't want to reveal anything? I'm sorry, I can't buy it. He is doing things, even in this season, right? So you pray for the person. This is how you practice. We might practice a little bit. We're getting out of time. So you pray for the person. And oftentimes I think we pray for the person and we let them go back to their seat. I think we should pray for them and say, how do you feel? Why'd you come down? Oh, I got pain in my leg. Okay, let's pray for your pain in your leg. All right. How do you feel? How much better is it? Still hurts. I have failed. No. If that's the case, Jesus failed. Jesus gets this blind dude, brings him down, prays for him, right? He asks the guy, oh, how you doing there, Joe? I don't know what his name was. I don't think it has his name. We'll call him Joe. How you doing, Joe? What's the guy say? I see men, but they look like trees walking around. Almost there. Sometimes I think we don't allow the Holy Spirit enough time to do stuff. Can we slow down? Let him move? Even in our services, you know? I think we might do that. I think we should. See how that works. So he prays again, and his sight is totally restored. Right? Why did Jesus do that? I think he really did that because, see, Jesus was fully man, fully God, 100% of the time, but everything he did on earth, he did as man, full of the Holy Spirit, to be your example. He said, these things I do, you're going to do. And even, here's a weird thing, even greater things because I go to my Father. What's that mean? Jesus raised the dead. Am I going to do something greater? No. Jesus was not omnipresent when he was on the earth. He was only one man, one place at one time. Now he sends the Holy Spirit so that he can be working in, with, and through all y'all, so that he can do, you're going to do way more than one man did. How many people are in this room? Look around. See? Jesus wants you to be full of the Holy Spirit, to go about doing the things that he wants to do. You might have a word for somebody. Every word that comes out is not prophetic. There's words of exhortation. Just because somebody tells you, I think you might be buying a bus, or that's not necessarily a prophetic word. You hear me? That's you could have discernment that tells you something. There's prophecies and very prophetic words. There's word of knowledge, which is there's somebody in the room dealing with this right now. A word of knowledge is a now word. Word of wisdom is something for your future, right? You get it? So you have somebody prophesy to you that you're allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you. How do you know what to tell people? Somebody tells me that. Welcome to the class. This is how I think of it. And then we're going to try to land this plane. You got to practice. Everybody say practice. Why do you practice? Because practice makes... No, not perfect. Practice makes better. Better. I think it was Brother Lawrence wrote a book called Practicing the Presence, right? Brother Lawrence, that old dude. That old dude. I said that old dude. He wrote that really cool book. You got to practice. This is how it works with me. And God gave me this concept on prophetic words. You know a parrot that talks? What's he say? He goes, pretty bird, right? You ever hear a bird say, pretty bird? Now, that bird doesn't know what pretty is, and it doesn't know what bird is, even though it is one. He's just repeating what he heard. So with prophetic words, you only say what you hear, do what you see. Don't add to it. Don't make stuff up, right? How many of you really... Don't raise your hand. Are you ready to start practicing the power? You have it. How many of you believe that you have the Holy Spirit? If you don't, here's how you get him. The Holy Spirit's not in it. In our old denomination, they called it the Holy Spirit. It. Did you get it? How do you call it an it when it, he's a he, he's a him? You say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. If you welcome, if you don't have baptism in the Holy Spirit in this room right now, in this moment, you feel like, I might have it, but I'm not quite sure if I have him the way I need to have him. The scripture says, Paul says, stir up the gift. Everybody say, stir up the gift. Say, stir up the gift. Holy Spirit, would you stir up in us even right now in this moment? We want to do miracles, signs, and wonders and see that. Not so we could say we did some kind of show, but so that we could show people the love of Jesus, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that when he leaves the planet, he would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to continue doing the very same thing in and through us that Jesus did when he was on earth. You believe that? You believe that can happen? Oh my, oh my, oh my. Be careful with what you allow yourself to formulate your opinion on the gifts and functions of the Spirit. Be careful what you allow to skew your thinking on that. Bishop says, Holy Spirit's not spooky and kooky. People are spooky. You don't have to be spooky and kooky. Be natural. I like to say, let the natural be super. Do you get it? Supernatural. Let the be naturally super in the Spirit. I believe that God brought a lot of you here today for this message to get you ready. I have to leave my notes because I got to tell you, this is the most important thing. I know for a fact that there are people in this room that have prophetic words that you hear. I believe there could be, I don't know, maybe a dozen or so people that I've got in my head that might even have tongues and interpretation, but we don't allow room for it all the time, okay? It's not conducive to do it while music's happening. That's weird. You know, it's just kind of butting heads. Can we be in class and talk practical? Okay. I believe God may be speaking to some of you even a few days before you get here and you write something down. That's a good way to do it. If God speaks to you, write it down. Put on a piece of paper. Bring it to whoever, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Shane, me, Pastor Ben, or our wives or whoever, some leader. Give it to them. Say, hey, I feel the Lord. I feel the Lord. Do not say, God said. If God really said, we'll know it after you say it. I just thought of that. That was really good, Pastor Mark. Okay? Yeah, are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? I believe there will be words of wisdom, things like that. I know, I'm just thinking. I'm talking out loud. That's how else do you talk? I'm thinking out loud. That maybe we should have short segments in our service where we just say, okay, Holy Spirit, we're just, if the musicians are playing and you're in another praise team, just do some instrumental music. Maybe you stop. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing. Don't be afraid of silence. Because if you're afraid of that, Pastor Jeff's going to say what? I'm not afraid of silence, right? So don't be afraid of silence. And then that would let you, let us kind of say, Lord, it might not happen in every service, okay? You can, if something happens every time, I go, If I play the same song every week and do the same thing, and you know, there's so many people. He wants to use you, and not just in this church. You practice in here, and when you go out of here, you keep practicing. This isn't just, this is a safe place. Aren't you glad you're at a church that you can flow in the Spirit and be safe and secure from all alarm? Why even fuss about this stuff? Jesus, every miracle Jesus did in John, this is what he said. Why did it happen? He said that these things have happened that they might believe. That's the whole thing. Are we bringing people to Christ? See, all the gifts and all that function, these signs are not the stopping point. But for many, it's the entry point. It points them in the right direction. If Kat and I were driving to Pittsburgh and I got out and the sign said airport, and I said, come on, Kat, let's take our luggage out. Here we are. She'd say, Mark, as she often says, what are you doing? Okay. This isn't the airport. This is just pointing us to the airport. But we have to pay attention to the sign. And the scripture says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall do what? They shall cast out demons, right? They shall lay hands on the sick, let's stand. They shall recover. Let's read these quick. Do we have John 14:12? We're about to do something here. Read this. Can we read it? John 14:12. I'll just read it. They're doing something up there. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I am doing. He will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. Acts 8:7 says, this is a scary scripture. With loud shrieks, unclean spirits came out of many who were possessed. Many of the paralyzed and lame were healed. Acts 19:11-12 says, God did extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul so that the handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and diseases and evil spirits left them. In this little treasure chest here, we have strips of cloth with oil. You know what to do? You anoint that. Get a group of people together. This is a spiritual thing that happens. You put the oil on the cloth. You all pray for it and say, now take it to Susie. And tell her to keep this with her. Paul did it. It was an example. We've done that for years. They call it, what do they call it? Prayer cloths. Get a prayer cloth, right? Is anyone among you sick? You should call in the elders of the church, pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect the gift that's in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the counsel of the elders. Do we have the Wymeth interpretation? Yeah, there we go. Let's look at this. Listen to this, and we're going to end here. Do not be careless about the gifts with which you were endowed, which were conferred on you through a divine revelation when the hands of the elders were placed upon you. And today, we're not going to place hands on you, but I've asked a few people to come up and... The scripture says it this way. I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you, Paul said. Sam Storm says it like this. The Spirit comes to us as a fire. The Spirit comes to us as a fire, either to be fanned into full flame and given the freedom to accomplish his will, or to be doused and extinguished by the water of human fear, control, and flawed theology. Don't let it be extinguished by the water of your human fear, your control, or your flawed theology.